people coming and asking questions. Father, you are good and we love you. In your name, amen. All right, well, thank you, panel members, for being here this morning. You guys know how this works. We've done this a few times. So I'll ask them some questions. And then the group themselves will go ahead and answer that question. And we'll discuss a few points this morning. There's a number of questions that came in, some really good questions. Unfortunately, we're not going to be able to get to all of them this morning. But next week, we're going to bring this up again, and hopefully we can weed through some of them next week as well. All right, so we'll start off on something a little bit lighter, just to get everybody's creative mental juices flowing a little bit. What is something that surprised you as a parent? The first time that you had a child, this just surprised you. You thought it was going to go this way and parenting was going to be like this, and you're like, wow, this is not what I expected. What's something that stood out or that surprised you as a parent? Pastor Matt's got the mic, so if you want it.
That little baby makes a lot of noise.
One in particular?
Emya.
Yeah, the first one. The first one.
Okay. For myself, the most surprising thing that I experienced was the late nights. Like, I thought the baby will be, you know, sleeping through, and that he or she wouldn't know anything, but they know. They would always cry in the middle of the times that you really want to be sleeping. They are making noise and they want to get up. But I appreciate my mom was there helping me, trying to, yeah. So that was one of the surprising things that I learned, that waking up late nights, which I wasn't really used to it. Yeah.
For me, it's the word no. You know, when I gave the command and Shadrach said no, and I went, did I really hear that? And you know what happened next? But yeah, it was the word no.
I think for me as a father in the house, I think I sometimes get some feedback from my two girls here. When I say something, like, they kind of say something back to me, and sometimes it's a surprise. Like, they start to say something that is from their perspective, what they know, and I start to like. Do they really know what they're saying, or like, and then like, I have to sit with Sharon and like, I think we need to kind of maybe correct them or say something that can sync well with them. So yeah, that's some kind of a question that we sort of throw back and forth.
Yeah. So, wives, how many of you were surprised how heavily your husbands could sleep when the baby needed somebody to tend to them? Yes. Yes. All right. Well, it is a privilege to have children, in the same way that it is a privilege to raise them and to train them and to be part of their lives as they grow up. And maybe I'll come to the next question here. Why is it so important for fathers, particularly for fathers, to love God first, to follow Him, to yield to His leading in your lives before you start to, or before you try to teach your children? So maybe I'll simplify that. Why is it so important that you as a father love God first before you try and teach your children?
Pastor Quinn.
I think it is important that we love God first, because the mechanism of a family depends on that, actually. If I don't, as a father, love God, then I shouldn't be expecting my wife to submit to me. Then I shouldn't be expecting my children to obey me, because I don't love God as a primary thing for my life as a father. When I love God and I live that life loving God, my wife will automatically fall in her place. My children, I can teach them and speak into their life because I love God, and they see it and they follow.
I would say it is tuple one time. You walk with God and you don't say, well, as soon as I'm walking good with God and don't make any mistakes, then I'll lead my children. No, you start walking and you turn around and grab the hand and bring them along at the same time. In your failures, you apologize. They're going to fail. You're going to fail. But walk with them. Walk with them.
So transparency also within that.
Absolutely. Your children see you day and night. They know what you are at your best and at your worst. And so what they see it, you own it, but love God, love your children.
There is a created order where God has placed the father as the head of the home. That is the mandate and the command. Fathers, bring up your children in nurture and admonition of the Lord. So there's a created order that happens there. And so, Dad, if you just decide, no, I'm not going to do it, or I'm going to let my wife do it, you will still influence them. To quote John Maxwell, leadership is influence. Mm-hmm. And so you're leading, whether you like it or not, you're leading, and you're either leading positively or you're leading negatively. And so if you are following the Lord already, well, then you're going to lead positively. If you are not following the Lord, you're going to lead negatively. And your children will follow however you go. But that, I think, speaks to the why behind. Why is it important for your relationship to be right instead of just maybe I'll figure this out as we go. So, Dad's the challenge would be make sure you're right with God.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Sorry, it's for the fathers, but for me, my father, when it comes to following the Lord, he's very strict. And I grew up in that environment, like, there's no nonsense about following God. So when I got married, I was thinking that would play out in my family. But because I got married to someone from the other church, it was a bit of struggle. But how my father taught me, that helped me to lead my girls to the line and waiting for daddy to get on when he's ready. So we pray, but it didn't, like, it was too heavy for me. I expect you to be a father, you know, just like my father, but the more I wait, I'm going to go astray. So I better pull myself in line, the girls in line. When the father is ready, it will come. So I got that from my father. That's what I want to say.
It's a line of communication. The father first, the mother, and the children follow. So if you follow that, father has to get saved first. If you are saved, then you'll be able to communicate with your own family. And that type of life will continue. If one line breaks off, then you are in problem. The only thing you have to do is fix it yourself. Take everyone to church. I think that the word of God will clean up everything. That's what happened to me. I got saved first, the girl about his church, then I got married, I brought my wife. She's already gone home. And then our children came through. So how I brought those two children, or we brought two children, we brought in a godly way. Everyone went to church because of the father. Father was there, and the communication went through, and everybody went to church. And that's how we lived. until today. And I'm a grandfather of 6 grandchildren. But I still make sure that the parents take the children to church, because I am the leading hand. And God look at me to making sure that my family lives in a godly way.
So maybe I'll jump off that. So what we've seen here is that it's important, it's vital for us as fathers to love God first, to grow in our relationship with God first, in order to effectively lead our families. I'll take the next question I'll ask that's sort of feeding off what you said there. If my spouse is unsaved, or maybe they're saved but they're not living a godly life, how do I lead my children, maybe as a wife, how do I lead my children in a godly manner when my husband does not live or does not even believe in what I am believing in, does not believe in a biblical manner of raising my children? How do I do that?
I'm going to speak from a daughter's point of view. I grew up in a house. My dad is an alcoholic, and I actually would argue with my mom about taking us to church. But I appreciate the fact that my mom got up and took us to church every Sunday morning. Many mornings, my mom was crying as she drove us to church on Sunday morning. And I appreciate that my mom taught us biblical facts at home. We would read through the Bible with my mom, where we never did that with my dad. And any time there was a church event, a youth group, whatever, my mom made sure that my sister and I were able to be a part of that. And I appreciate that my mom was willing to do that, because it's by the grace of God and I think the love that my mom had for God that allowed me to be the wife that I am and mother I am today.
There's a tendency for some, perhaps some mothers with good intentions, to say, well, my husband isn't following the Lord. I want my children to follow the Lord, therefore I'm going to leave my husband and I'm going to just go do my own thing. So let me read for you. This is 1 Corinthians 7, verses 13 and 14. A woman that hath an husband that believeth not, and if he be pleased to dwell with her, let her not leave him. For the unbelieving husband is sanctified by the wife, and the unbelieving wife is sanctified by the husband. Else were your children unclean, but now are they holy. The thought is, don't leave him. Stay there. Continue to serve the Lord. You be holy. You be sanctified. You be set apart. And you never know what your testimony will do to him. The chance is greater that if you leave, divorce him, that your children will end up unholy. Mm. However, with your, to use these words from 1 Peter, I think it is, your chaste conversation, your clean way of living will be an example to your husband, and you never know but what day your husband may follow to be a believer as well. So being patient and not giving up.
Yeah. Anybody else?
Okay, for me, leading in PNG context for ladies, and if we have our husband's family in the house, and for you to lead, it's a no-no. So it's the husband who does the thing. But when it's in my house, I take control of it. Whoever in my house, that's my, I take the lead. If I have devotion, they want to do whatever they want to do. They know that I'm having devotion with the girls, and the father is still sleeping or doing what he needs to do. But the consistency in doing that. So his people come into the house, they see I'm doing that thing and I'm consistent, and that's the rule in my house, and that's what I'm doing. And that's the thing, that be consistent and leave it and it will come. People say, you know, just the word outside, fake it until you make it. But for Christians, it's not fake it. It's doing it until you get it right. So that's what I'm doing it for myself.
Yeah, absolutely.
So maybe I'll broaden that question a little bit further and put it more into the context for us here in PNG. A lot of our homes are not just mom, dad, and a couple of kids. A lot of our homes are mom, dad, a couple of kids, everybody else, uncles, aunties, boo-boos. We got like 15, 20 people that are sort of in and out of the house all the time. And our younger kids tend to be raised, as you said, it takes a village, tend to be raised by the group, which then in turn leads to us as parents taking less responsibility for that. As a parent in that scenario where I want to raise my children, but I don't necessarily agree with the mob mentality, the family mentality, in fact, sometimes that's going to be not biblical, how do I live in that environment and raise my children to be godly children when there's this pressure continually that they should do cultural things or they should fit a certain mold?
I think I see time is of essence. When you still have a toddler or a child under your care, I see that's the only opportunity that we have as parents to bring up our children. And we cannot waste any more time. And if we have to give the best opportunity to our children, this is the only time we have. We cannot take families or other things into our own family circle. Your biological children are your responsibility, and we must take that seriously. We just cannot say culture is something that we must always respect, but our families, it's very important. And your biological child is, it's more important outside your culture or other family. So you as a parent, we have that the great responsibility to bring up our child.
Yes, for me and my family, what Brother Phil said, right now we are in that situation. We have, like, I've got my brother and the kids with me, but more importantly, our kids are the priority in our house, and we have our devotions, and they have to follow what we set in our house. So they have to, what we set, if it's devotion time, it's devotion time. We don't like go around just to please them or be that they will, you know. We set the rules and they have to follow by that. And our priority is our kids, how we bring them up. That they have to follow that rule what we set in the house.
I want to caution us from thinking, well, I'm in a PNG context, therefore the Bible way doesn't work. If we can just take a moment and think of what the context was for Ephesians 5, Ephesians 6. Paul, a Jewish person, writing to Gentile believers in a place that he had visited and been for just a couple of years, that is within a Roman society where you're talking about a third of the people are slaves. Let's just think of what the nuclear home looked like for them. Perhaps there was dad and mom and kids, and maybe they were slave owners who would have had a nanny that would take care of the kids that would have babied them. How many of us understand what I'm talking about? The nanny will go way beyond what you would ever do. Or maybe switch the role, because a lot of times the Christians were the slaves. And perhaps what we would consider the nuclear home, mom, dad, and the kids, was greatly overshadowed by slave owners. And how well can they raise their children and nurture and admonition of the Lord within that setting? And yet the command was given, fathers, raise your children. Children, obey your parents. And so let's, I guess, if I can just kind of push back against the idea of, well, our setting is unique. Our setting is not as unique as we think it is.
Yeah.
And so let us not use that as an excuse to say, I can't follow the biblical commands.
Yeah, that's good. Anybody else?
I want to just echo what Pastor John said in his preaching. He said, Dad, step up. I just want to echo that. Dad, step up. Dad, step up.
I think everything is already been said. First of all, I'll put it this way. Our culture and the church we go to, and that was our main idea where I focused on. I have only 2 children, to making sure that whatever I want them to do in the future, because they're going to grow, they must follow the Bible way. So my family, only once in a while they come to my house. I'm a teacher by profession. And it was board of management ruled that only teachers live in that school. So I was heading that school, and that's why I'm making sure that the children too must follow the Bible way. So I took them to Bible school, Daru Baptist Church, while they were small. So I trained them up from there until today. Yeah. And only two children, born again. And the daughter got married to a Christian man. And the son too did the same thing, because it was my teaching. Like I said, in the first place, it's a communication from the father, the mother, and the children. How I behave or what I want them to do, we are all able to go to church. So it must happen today, because it's too late. Yeah. Because we are living in a society where a lot of ideas come very much for our children. So that was the whole thing, what I did. And today, like I said, it is up to all of us to make sure that our children go to the right place where they should go.
So maybe we'll step out of that one a little bit, and I'll ask a question. I'll give you a little bit of context. Let's say there is a Christian family, and this has happened to a number of our families, including families up here, where the children are now grown up. The children are looking to get married or are married and establishing their own families. How does an adult respectfully, a married adult that's now got their own children, how do they respectfully go about creating or forming different, not traditions, but different rules within their own house and not offending mom and dad? Those rules are in line with biblical principles, but maybe they're different to what mom and dad does. How do I, as that young person, go about doing that in a manner that's respectful to my mom and dad? I think about Erica Malong. You've got kids. Meshach is in that exact position. You guys are about to be in that position. You guys have been in that position heaps of times. You've certainly been in that, and you guys in a couple of years will be as well. How do we do that in a respectful manner? Maybe some practical tips here.
Right. I got married to my mom. When I got married, I moved in to with Malong, with to the father's house. Brother Frank Murray was a no-nonsense, Baptist, Independence, Fundamentalist. The Word. He lived the Word. And he was no nonsense. So when I went in the family, I went into his authority. And like the question is, very quickly, I had to stand up as my own rule for my wife and my children under his house. And that was very difficult. Especially when her dad was an authoritarian. Do this way, not that way, you know. And actually, this way and that way were all biblical, but it has to be this way, his way. And for me, raising my two boys, Acacia also, was a battle because I had to submit to his home authority. I know that this way is the right way, so I had to. There's got to be a rub somewhere. So I rubbed with my father-in-law at times. For me, there are times when you've got to extend grace. You've got to love. The authoritarian didn't have that. That would come right at the end when everyone's crying. Okay. And so that was a rub. So, according to the question, for the question, I had to speak with my father-in-law. And we had to come to an understanding that I can also be allowed to raise my children in his home. And that was the understanding that we came to. But yeah, I thank God for my father-in-law's life.
I thought there would have been heaps coming from you guys.
Since Dad aired some of the dirty laundry this morning in the sermon, I'll air some of it back. very thankful. So all the dirty laundry under the bed, that's right. Very thankful for the parents that God gave me. I was blessed to have them. Not everybody gets that opportunity, and I know that I've been blessed. When we got married, we lived in a different town. And then Ariel came along, and Ariel was a baby. I remember coming back and visiting Mom and Dad. We stayed at the house with Mom and Dad. And we had our way of how we would handle Ariel. And Mom and Dad had a different way that they thought that we should handle Ariel. And we were very strong about how our way was, and they were very strong about their way. And I remember having a conversation with Becky one evening and then going and having a conversation with Mom and Dad the next day. I think what made it to where it went, the conversation went very well. I'll say that. They took it very well. And I think the thing that helped was not waiting. If we had waited and let it keep going and keep building, then it would have been a great point of contention between us. I have no idea if they even remember this, but it was, for us, it was difficult for me as a son to come to Mom and Dad and say, hey, I think you guys are overstepping here. This is our child, and we're going to raise our child like this. And it was difficult for me to kind of speak up because I'd always been honor Mom and Dad. But in this moment now, it was important for us to now be Mom and Dad. And they took it very well. And I think if I can echo what Brother Eric said, grace, extending grace and showing love in honor, preferring one another, and then remembering that, okay, that new young family is their own family. And this is something that we've had to work through now as our girls have moved out of the house. They're now into their own lives. Both of them have sought churches in the town that they're in. So they've gone looking for new churches where they're at. And as a dad, I know both of those towns. And I know a lot of churches in both of those towns. And I know what church I would like for them to go to. But I have to extend the grace to let them be their own and choose their own. And so I can't say that I've done it well either, but very thankful for the grace that God's given us as we've been able to see this happen.
Maybe I'll leave it with one last question, and it's not so much a question as an encouragement from you guys. Maybe an encouragement to couples that have a child that is fighting against them. They've gone off the tracks, maybe we could say. That couple has done everything to raise that child in a biblical manner, in a godly way, and that child has made the choice to go, I'm not interested. Maybe some encouragement from you guys. What do I continue to do? What does a parent who has that wayward child do?
Love them and just keep loving them and just keep doing your routine that the Lord's put in your life. Do your devotions with your other children and love that one that's gone.
Yeah. I like what Mama Lena just said. Love them. Keep on loving them. Just keep on loving them. And do what you're supposed to do as a parent. Do what you're supposed to do as a father. Do what you're supposed to do as a mother. And be faithful to the calling that God has called you with. Some emotions here, but I don't want to really bring it out. Just want to say, God is faithful. God is faithful. And in His faithfulness, when we begin to love Him and we draw closer to Him as a father, as a dad, as a man of the house, we draw closer to Him, our children, our wife will also draw closer. And we tend to love everyone else and pray and continue to love for that wayward one. You'll be shocked and thankful to God that God will bring them back into the fold and slowly bring them back to loving Him again. Fathers, step up. Fathers, rise up. Mothers, step up. Mothers, rise up. It's time that we show with our lives that we love God, not just with our mouths. Let's show them with our lives. Let's bring that grace. God loves us so much that He gave His life. That same love that He has given to us, He's placed in our hearts. Let's take that love and give it to those around us, our children, our spouses, those in our houses, our communities, our villages, and those around us. Love is powerful when it's God's love.
For those of you that are not married yet, I don't want to shoot over your heads. I want to lower the barrel and put it right in your nose. Some of you know what the pain is, as you've watched it as a young person, and you see that, and you're like, I don't want that in my marriage. It is, I'll use the big word, non-negotiable. The spouse you choose, if that person doesn't love Jesus, leave them someplace on the side of the road. Well, they'll change. I'm going to stand up. They will not change. You are not God, and you cannot change them. I'm standing. I'm that serious about this. You go for the one that loves Jesus, because marriage Everyone will tell you, it's hard enough.
Yeah.
Raising children is harder than that. You don't want this heartache. You don't. I'm not saying it's optional. No, you don't want this. So start right.
Yeah.
Start right. This person is not right. You don't do it. And then you love. One's astray. At least you know you've done what you can.
I wanted the microphone back because I have one thing to say that I didn't say when it went by me before, and that was that you should pray.
Yeah.
I mean, our kids are like, you gave them birth. You brought them into the world. And those of you that have a wayward child, you know the pain of this. I mean, how can you go through life and go to heaven and your child's not there? Mm-hmm. Pray, mom and dad, pray. Pray, sibling, for your sister or your brother that's not right with God. Pray. That's our recourse. That's what we can do. And it does change things.
Mm.
Right, because our God does hear. And He loves us.
How do we as a church come around that family? The family that's struggling.
Same way. Pray.
Yeah.
Pray. And love the family. Love those people. Love the children. Know that they're suffering. They're in pain. Their children are gone from the Lord. How do you even deal with that?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to me, it's just unfathomable. One of our kids did that. He did it briefly, but he told us at one point, I don't believe in your God. I don't want to have anything to do with him. There were extenuating circumstances, but he said that to us. And we were just crushed. How can that be? I mean, you've seen God work. You know our love for God. You know, we thought we knew your love for God, and all of a sudden you don't love him. This mama didn't sleep for months. I was up every night. I was up every day. I was praying for this kid. And he came back to the Lord. He's a pastor now. He's not this pastor. but he loves the Lord with all his heart. Yeah.
If I can speak to my peer group. Some of you older Baptist guys were trained by missionaries from my peer group. I came up under hard Baptist preaching. And here's one of our flaws. That was, if you mess up, you're gone.
Mm.
I told my church when I took over from my pastor, who was one of those guys, I told my church, that's not biblical and we're not doing that anymore.
Hey.
If someone repents, you forgive them and you bring them back and you... Yep. Draw them close and you help them walk the way. You don't cut them out. We're dealing with new issues in our nation, and here's how I believe you should do it. And Pastor Matt is the pastor, and he can... I don't want to put him on the spot, but we're dealing with issues of homosexuality, and then my stupid nation of America is exporting transgenderism and some of the most insane... The guys are just long. They're just long. But as those ideas permeate our culture and your child gets to questioning and going that way, you love and you pray. But let me add one thing. You don't move from your position. You hold your position. Son, I know what you're asking and questioning right now, and I love you and I'm praying for you. Now, you know, Dad doesn't agree with that. I'm not ever going to hate you. I am never going to hate you. But you think you're gay or you think that you're a girl. I was there when you were born. You're a boy. Talk sense. You can talk sense. Don't listen to the world that says you can't say that. Common sense. You look in boy, I'm boy. You look in girl, I'm girl. You can say that. He's giving you his opinion. You have an opinion. But you say, I love you, but I don't agree with that.
Yeah.
And you be biblical, but never stop loving.
Yeah.
And never stop praying. Speak the truth in love.
Well, maybe we'll wrap it up there. I think the key points that stood out for me this morning were, one, as fathers, our first priority must be our relationship with God. How can I raise my children to be godly children if I leave that aspect of my life aside? Or if I don't focus appropriate attention on that? As fathers, as parents, our first priority must be our relationship with God. We can't let that go. We talked some about how to react in home where it's a complicated situation. And as parents, we need to stand our ground, whether that's in a home that's full of other people or whether that's in a home that is just a transitional place. As parents, we need to stand our ground and we need to set the benchmark. And that benchmark needs to be based on our walk with God. Families, parents, set that standard in your home, that biblical standard. We've got to stop this cultural overlay of, yeah, but we do it different here. Set the standard and make sure that standard is a biblical standard. The last one we talked about here is, how do you deal with that situation where we have a child that potentially is fighting back and they've walked away from the biblical standards that we've established in our homes? And we talked about loving them and continuing to love them and continuing to lead them in that biblical manner, despite the fact that maybe they're pushing back on that. Again, my walk has to be right in order to have an impact in that space. Church, how do we support those people? For one, we've got to stop judging. That parent may have done everything according to the Word of God, and that child has their own decision-making process, and they may have walked away. So one, we've got to stop judging the parents, stop labeling, and come around them and love them and guide them. And parents, we need to be transparent. Yeah? When I'm struggling with raising my children, we're very personal about our children, aren't we? If somebody says something about the way that I'm raising my children, the first thing I do is I react and go, whoa, 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 whoa. You have no right to speak into my life about how I parent. You do not know what you're talking about. Yeah? The parents, if we're going to grow in our individual walk with God, and if we're going to grow in our ability to raise our children, we need to be transparent. I need to be able to go to someone like Papa and Mama and say, hey, I'm struggling here. This isn't working. Have you got some advice for me? I need to be able to go to my pastor and say, I need some counsel. I need to be able to go to other believers and say, I'm falling short. Can you help me? Can you hold me accountable? Because if I'm not going to be transparent and I'm just going to stay in that space and continue to bang my head against the wall, then my children are not going to end up where God has designed them to end up. Yeah? So fathers, let's love God first. Let's seek God first in everything that we do. Let's be praying for our children that they would be passionate about the Word of God. That they would be passionate about growing in their walk with God. And then let's support them as they do that. Support them as a couple, but support them as fathers. I think this has been a good panel this morning. Thank you, all of you, for being up here. Thank you for exposing parts of your lives that maybe we haven't seen before. I think this has been a good morning. Pastor Matt, do you have anything you want to close with? All right, well, let's pray, and we'll finish up for this morning. Gracious Heavenly Father, thank you for the privilege that it is to be parents. Father, as we are challenged this morning, I pray that we would seek you first. Father, as you teach us and as you correct us and as you guide us and as the Holy Spirit works in us, the Father, those lessons would flow on from us into the lives of our children. And the Father, we would be faithful to our children.
And that, Father, our children would grow up to love You, to desire to walk with You. And, Father, that we would continue to support them in that. Now, Father, for the parents this morning that maybe they're struggling, they're not quite sure where to go next, not sure how to correct, how to train, how to raise their children to be godly children, or maybe their children have just rejected them and rejected You outright. Father, I pray that You would bring counsel into those people's lives, bring comfort into those families' lives. And Father, I pray that they would stand on the Word of God. Father, You are good, and You love us, and You love our families. Father, we love You in Your name. Amen.